Okay, here he is, back just in the nick of time. And with him is the other half of this team, Erica Kahn. We're with you three times a week to try to keep you up to date on all the developments regarding the biological weapon that has been deployed around the world as an alleged vaccine, to keep you updated on matters of health related to this whole horror, and it is a horror, and boy, the stories are not slowing down any, and unfortunately, it's only going to get worse, and I don't like saying that. I'm not a negative person, but I'm a realist, and that is the real truth. Hello, young lady. Welcome back.
Hi there, Jeff. Good to be back. Happy
okay.
Monday.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. Okay. Official U.S. government data suggests that fully vaccinated, bioweapon injected Americans are developing acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, AIDS. Yes, we are now, and most of you listening are living in nations where AIDS is soon to become the dominant health crisis. Official data made available by the U.S. Department of Centers and the Centers for Disease Control strongly suggests that fully vaxxed Americans are developing acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. But they are not alone, because further data made available by the UK government and the government of Canada suggests the vaccinated population in both of these respective countries are also developing the debilitating condition, AIDS. The world will be developing that very debilitating condition, whether or not they got the same vax, because that's the plan, to destroy the human immunological system and open the door to an early death, and a transmissible death at that, in terms of the pathogen involved. We have cancers, we have clots, we have prions, and boy, the prion thing is going to be big before this is over. That's your vampire, zombie, monster. They've had a lot of movies out about various types of things that have mental issues. But yes, we have zombies out there now. The fuse on prion disease is seemingly getting shorter all the time. It used to be a longer pull with CJD, but now it's as short as weeks, and people are gone. So, yes, it's a planet that is going to be horribly besieged by advanced AIDS around the planet. And that's happening right now, right now.
Yeah, we're seeing it. On Friday, we had spoken a bit about the failure of the antiviral that they've been prescribing for people with so-called COVID, infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, supposedly. And it seems to work in normal, non-vaxxed people, but with the vaccinated, what they're seeing is that the symptoms of infection will diminish while they are taking this two-pill combo, Paxlovid. But they will rebound as soon as they stop the medication. So it looks as though that even with a little bit of help in the form of a pharmaceutical, these people still cannot overcome this infection or knock it down to a point where they're not having symptoms. So I think that's an indication. We have another indication. Curiously, I missed this one. There's another set of antibodies that are being prescribed now called EvuShield. This is AstraZeneca's offerings for these are monoclonal antibodies. It's a combination of two of them that will neutralize the spike protein, prevent it from attaching to its receptor in the body. But it is specifically for immune-compromised people. And it's given
people
as
with
an injection.
AIDS.
Are compromised immune systems. But it's not even for people who have had a recent exposure. This is completely pre-exposure prophylaxis. So that if you think that you are at risk of having COVID, even if you have not yet been exposed, they are promoting this as something good to do.
Now, this is our famous AstraZeneca lab, which had probably the most clot-prone of all the so-called vaccines.
Yes. And so it's for people that, they say that it's not intended to replace vaccination, but this is for the unfortunate people who can no longer receive a vaccine for whatever reason, but they're still at risk.
Uh-huh.
And, and this should protect you for about 6 months. And it's antibodies that are derived from other humans who were infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus and generated antibodies. And
These are actual human antibodies in this product? In this product.
Yes.
They're not synthesized.
No,
these are actual human antibodies.
Wow. Well, that wouldn't, I mean, they do the same thing for rabies immune globulin. I mean, those are derived from, I believe, last time I checked, from human B cells. I can't even imagine what the price tag is on these things, but apparently there's enough of a population out there that is...
Where are they getting these antibodies? From donors? From cadavers?
Yeah, from donors. From people who had the SARS-CoV-2 virus and recovered and in the process of that generated antibodies.
And diagnosed by a fake test.
Well, I suppose, but they had some infection that involved a spike protein, and because these antibodies are specific for two epitopes on that spike protein.
How do we know they're not getting it from cadavers? Do we trust AstraZeneca?
Well, I guess if the person died, they probably didn't generate protective antibodies. We don't know. Who knows?
No, we know. And what we found out about that story I'm running right now is that let me pull this up real quick. Hold on. This is another important one. Gates. Gates says the code in mRNA vaccines can be updated without regulators knowing. So what's in it? Who do you believe? Who do you trust? How lucky do you feel? And if somebody does donate blood serum with antibodies in it, how do we know they're not accidentally extracting something else from it and putting it in this AstraZeneca potion? The whole thing sounds sketchy to me.
There are methods to purify this to a great extent. It's not 100%.
It is a biologic.
Things do contaminate these. They call them biologics.
Right.
But they're other people's antibodies, essentially.
Well, I'll pass. no, thank you. Here, back to that story. The official data made available by the U.S. government and CDC strongly suggests that fully vaxxed Americans are developing AIDS. Let me go on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a common misconception that acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, AIDS, is only caused by the HIV. It's not the HIV virus, it's the HIV, the human immunodeficiency virus, V for virus. This simply isn't true, as most of you already know. Acquired or secondary immunodeficiency is one of the major causes of infections in adults. These immunodeficiency disorders affect your immune system partially or as a whole, making your body an easy target for several diseases and infections. When immunodeficiency disorders affect your immune system, your body can no longer fight bacteria and diseases. As I said, the door is wide open. So you become a very active, biological, walking, weaponized, petri dish, germ pathogen factory, and you're spewing this stuff all over the place. And you don't even know it. You may feel reasonable, but you could have TB and be spreading it. We know TB doesn't necessarily manifest with knocking someone on their ass, excuse the expression. They can carry it for years. And we don't know what form they're carrying either. There are four different types of TB. And this is just one thing. So if you get AIDS, if you've been shot up, and chances are you're going to get AIDS, you will be carrying all manner of pathogens. And you need to be careful about spreading them, unbeknownst to yourself. And that's why we continually suggest that all people continue to wear masks in crowded environments for the sake of the vaccinated, because they have AIDS. We don't want them to catch diseases and die. And if they have AIDS, that's a piece of cake. We don't want the unvaxxed to become contaminated with diseases being shed by the walking, weaponized petri dishes, otherwise known as the vaxxed. You follow? So the masks can work for both sides of the tracks, both sides of the street. Now, how do we know masks work? Well, we're going to tell you. And they do work. Are they 100%? No. Are they 50%? Doubtful. However, there was a landmark, very interesting, which you're going to hear, test which worked at 100% efficiency to block the transmission of a deadly disease. That was the beginning of face masks. The floor is yours.
Well, this references this paper that was printed in, what was it, 1967?
I think you're right.
And it's a history of surgical face masks, and back at the end of the 19th century, the late 1800s, they began to compile data and you know, in an effort to reduce post-surgical infections and infections acquired by medical staff who were treating people with infectious contagious diseases. And this data was irrefutable that when masks were employed, and they were, you know, employed in a hygienic, sanitary fashion, the risk of infection from both sides was reduced. And I think the most notable one that I can see here is this one that was cited by in 1918 by a Weaver, that over a two-year period, the incidence of diphtheria, which is a bacterial illness, mm-hmm. contracted by attendance of infected patients, was reduced to zero after wearing masks of double-thickness gauze.
Okay.
So that's up. Healthy people. I mean, it's just healthy
yes.
people attending to sick people who would normally, some of them would normally get sick from this constant, close and continuous contact.
100%. Effective.
And seriously, if they were not at all useful, why would we use them in surgeries? Why would we use them at dentists?
And tell them again what the masks
something.
Were made of. This is, you're going to laugh.
Gauze. Double thickness gauze. Yeah, that's not very fine.
So here we have an historic example of human medical ingenuity figuring out that a mask might be a good thing to do if you're working around sick people or if you are sick, either to protect them or protect yourself. And this one worked 100%, and it was double thick gauze. This is a mind blower. Nobody knows about this. Nobody talks about this. All they do is get in these petty arguments about masks. If masks
yeah,
only work 10%, I'll take it.
Yeah, if you're talking about an aerosolized virus that can cause cancer, can cause prion disease, clots, strokes, wouldn't you take a little bit of a reduction? It's unfortunate that the whole issue has become politicized because, you know, now they're mocking the people that wear it for virtue signaling or fear and panic.
Right.
And then the people that don't wear it are being regarded as, you know, defiant, obstinate. You know, when all it is, it's just a little bit of common sense. I mean, this is not, a endorsement for mandates. No. Everybody has to make up their own mind of when it's appropriate for them or if it's appropriate for them. And they just, it's common sense.
Common sense. There's a shortage of common sense running around now.
Well, people are really, really emotional about this topic right now. And I mean, you can understand why.
Well, they're predicating their whole, essentially, in many ways, their whole approach to life, health, and wellness on this mask issue. And they shouldn't be. It's silly.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It's a simple thing. If you want to wear the mask, wear the mask. We have scientific hard proof. When was the double gauze mask approximately again? The first
1918.
One? Okay. So we're over 100 years of proof that a double gauze, double thick gauze mask is 100% effective at preventing the transmission of a deadly pathogen. All right?
Mm.
Now, are the masks today better than a double gauze mask? I would think so. I would not want to wear a mask, nor do I recommend anyone wearing a mask, and I think Erica would agree, that is made in China. Try to find something that's made here. And if you can't, go find some material, some cloth material, that you can make your own mask with, and a lot of people do. You can wash it. You can put it in the sunshine. You can put a regular mask, N95, in the sunshine for 10, 15, 20 minutes. It'll be sterilized. UV light will kill pathogens. And wear it when you're in a store. Are we asking you to wear it 24 hours a day? Are we asking you to wear it 8 hours at work? Are we asking you to wear it for an hour? No. Go into a store, put the damn thing on, give yourself an advantage. When you come out of the store, take it off. What do you have to lose? And again, if it's only a 10% improvement in your overall chances of not picking up something pathogenic, is it worth it to you? It may be 20 or 30%. I don't know. And we've already explained how a pathogen is trapped, a 1 micron pathogen is trapped in a 3 micron hole. We've explained that in the past. So listen to our former programs and you'll understand how that works. Okay? Here's anything else to add to this? I think it's really important that people understand that the government suddenly dropped the mask mandate, the social distancing mandate. They did it first in the UK, then they dropped it over here. We'll get to other things about that mask-wearing mandate in a minute. But they did it for one reason, and forgive the repetition, but Erica just nailed it on the program here weeks and weeks ago. The reason they've dropped the mandate is very self-serving. When you are on the satanic team of human genocidal annihilation, you get it. And you want people not to wear masks. And you want them to get together.
Yeah, especially now where two-thirds, maybe even three-quarters of the population has received this bioweapon. It does shed. And I'm personally hearing more and more people coughing, sneezing. I mentioned on Friday I was in a store and I could hear the next aisle over some person having a awful coughing fit, and all I could think of is, hey, I definitely don't want to go down that aisle. I mean, you protected or unprotected, really, but you know, those aerosols hang in the air, and you
and
don't know what they
up?
Have.
They're no, nobody knows. They're picked up by the HVAC system in the store or shop, if they have one running, and most do, and they'll just be circulating it through and filling the entire room with them. They'll spread them
right
out. They do not exchange the air with the outside air. They just recirculate the interior air. I guess even in airplane safety.
I've been in a few businesses. I mean, if they were really, really determined, I mean, if this was a legitimate pandemic where they were trying to spare people's lives or their health, they wouldn't have bothered with these some of these ridiculous measures that they came up with. They would have had businesses install, you know, ozone generators or some kind of air purification system, and not had their employees standing around in masks all day. That's ridiculous. I mean, there's better ways of going about this, but it was never about that.
Right. No,
it was never about that.
Thank you for mentioning that. I have two ozone generators in my HVA system in the house. Heating system, cooling system, HVAC system. I've got two ozone units on there, so the air gets well-treated, well-exposed to ozone, which is notorious for destroying pathogens. It's mm-hmm. what it does best. So you can do this in your own home, and you can run your system, whether it's in the winter or the summer, and you can have clean air. This is all really not rocket science. It's simple. And I hope all of you understand that. And if you go out and you feel, oh, my God, they're staring at me, I'm wearing a mask, you've missed the point. You've missed the boat. You missed the barn with a shotgun. The idea is your life and your sanctity and your right to be a healthy individual or to minimize your risks. So to hell with anyone who stares at you. It's none of their business. So forget it.
I'm encouraged somewhat in this area. It depends on where you go, whether or not people are masking or not. I mean, there's no mandate. Those have gone away for some time. But there doesn't seem to be any hostility from either side as to whether someone's wearing a mask or not. That gives me hope. I mean, there's still some, respect among human beings that you can tolerate somebody else's choices.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing, and it's a very important point. And if you do watch, I think you'll see what Erica just said. You'll see people just kind of ignoring whatever the other person's doing, and they'll just talk to someone with or without a mask and whatever. Those who stand on masks don't work, and I have a constitutional right not to wear a mask. Well, those people are going to get probably exposed to a lot of stuff. If they knew better, they wouldn't. They wouldn't want anything to do with it. So give yourself a little advantage. That's our counsel to you. Just help yourself along.
Yeah, I often think to myself, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't be arguing about a mask. You just...
Well, our listeners know a lot, thanks to the programs that we do and the information you bring forward, and it's very important. So just also remember, wash your hands very seriously. Things are spread skin to skin. Fomites are a real problem. So wash your hands. Okay?
Yep.
All right. So there's our little mask thing. I think did we cover it all?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's a little short 2-minute video with Billy Goat Gates. Let's see what he has to say here.
We can get vaccines for things like cancer, for AIDS, for everything. Not immediately, but the dream is, yes, a lot of the funding for these mRNA companies is for cancer-related vaccines. And part of the beauty is that even if the thing you're trying to attack in the cancer, you know, only a small number of people have it, it's so easy to change the instructions in the vaccine. You don't have to build a whole new factory and verify the factory. You just type those numbers in, and hopefully the regulator sees, oh, you're just doing this small thing, go ahead. Particularly for cancer, where the outcome, if you don't treat the patient, is very poor. It's not healthy people that you're treating. And so,
did you hear what he said? He mocked regulation and the regulators.
Mm-hmm.
You just go ahead. Just show them a little bit, and they'll say okay, and go ahead and change it. So the code in the mRNA vaccines, and remember, almost all vaccines are apparently headed toward an mRNA platform, can be updated, said Billy, changed without regulators noticing. That's what he said.
That's incredible.
This is our Savior, right? Here, listen again.
Easy to change the instructions in the vaccine. You don't have to build a whole new factory and right. verify the factory. You just type those numbers in, and hopefully the regulator sees, oh, you're just doing this small thing. Go ahead, particularly for cancer, where the outcome, if you don't treat the patient, is very poor. It's not healthy people that you're treating. And so when people look at the three mRNA companies, CureVac, Moderna, BioNTech, they each have cancer groups that, you know, they're excited about. They can also make medicines that have been expensive, protein medicines like growth factors, and they'll, you know, try to do quite a few vaccines.
Excuse me. Growth factors? What is he talking about there? Any guess? Very expensive medicines? Growth factors. Is this for children who are stunted in their growth? Or is talking about
growth hormone? There's all kinds of growth hormones.
Yeah.
What do you want to achieve?
he would like to reduce the world population. Just ask his late father here.
So, yes, it's a much easier way of making the vaccine because you tell the body to make the spike protein and then have the immune system recognize it and get ready to attack it, as opposed to you actually stick the spike protein in and you have to do it on top of something and figuring out what that is.
Oh, my. Has he not heard of Novavax? What the hell is this guy?
You know, the only problem with that is that every cell that begins producing a spike protein is now attacked and destroyed by the immune system.
You got it. We've been saying that for well over a year now. And this is like a carny hustle. All right, I got to listen to that again. Oh, I got to listen to this again. This is how these people think. So the idea is, the spike protein is good. And okay. And he knows nothing about Novavax. Nothing. At least according to this little...
Well, that's minute. Not his baby.
No, he's not making money on it.
The
right.
vaccine, because you tell the body to make the spike protein and then have the immune system recognize it and get ready to attack it, as opposed to you actually...
Okay. So the body, as we know, the mRNA causes the body to produce spike proteins. We don't know how long yet. We know it's up to 128 days proven, and we suspect, I'm speaking for both of us here, that it potentially could be forever. We don't know. So the body's producing the spike protein. Your immune system is going to tee off on it and attack it, but there are trillions of spike proteins, and he didn't seem to mention the word epitope in there anywhere, did he?
No. No, he thinks this is very straightforward. You know, you just program the cells to produce the antigen of choice, and you make antibodies against it. It's not playing out that way. But
not
I guess he doesn't want to admit that.
The spike protein in, and you have to do it on top of something, right. and figuring out what that is, you know, is kind of hit or miss. And so the factory...
Kind of hit or miss. It's really a confidence builder, isn't it, in his own vaccine concept.
Well, and this current technology is so much more refined.
Unreal.
For mRNA, is pretty generic. You know, what Pfizer... You know, they, in a typical year before the pandemic, made 200 million vaccines in a year. The COVID vaccine, they made 1.5 billion in the first year. And so the scale-up of that manufacturing, and as they did that, their cost per unit, right. you know, it starts at like 60 and is probably, they don't like to say, but probably below $5 at this point.
They made, if I remember correctly, $55 billion officially last year on their mRNA SARS-CoV-2 alleged vaccine. These vaccines are not vaccines. I will repeat, they were never designed to be vaccines. They've got a little thin charade of an idea of how they're supposed to work. These are not vaccines. These are bioweapons. They're designed to destroy the human circulatory system, its major organs, to introduce things like VCJD, mad cow disease, feel lucky today, and all manner of horrible things that will end your life far sooner than it should be ended. This is just as evil and satanic as it gets. And to hear this guy talk about it and just jockey around key salient points like that, he's a real huckster.
About this technology for at least 20 years, well, as far back as Robert Malone with his lipid nanoparticle discovery, but they could never get it approved because it was hideously toxic. The lipid nanoparticle portion of it is toxic, and then this runaway protein production part of it is toxic. Not to mention the protein that's being produced.
Correct. The spike protein is not just a one-purpose item. It is multi-purposed, and it has on it epitopes, which are essentially, for the sake of conversation, mirror images of proteins that are in your body. So when your immune system targets these epitopes in the spike protein, they're also going to target the clone of that epitope that is already in your body, such as in the female reproductive system. They found 27 epitopes in the spike protein that are identical virtually to the actual proteins in the female reproductive system. Understand, your body then creates an autoimmunological response to your own body's proteins in the reproductive system, destroys them, and you're sterile. This is a sterilization genocidal masterpiece, this thing. And you
will not hear.
You won't hear Billy Gates talking about epitopes. You won't hear it. And how many epitopes do we think are potentially in a spike protein?
I would say there's probably about 3,000. And how many of those are a match to human sequences? Don't know, but there's 41 were identified that are a match for 27 proteins in the female reproductive tract. And then at the end of 2020, I believe it was, some other researchers pointed out that there were something like 52 in the ones they looked at, and half of those were in the immune system. So you could be potentially making antibodies against components of your own immune system.
Well,
correct. Interferon being one of them.
All right, that was you first doing that, and that means AIDS. You destroy your own immune system, you destroy your own reproductive system, you shorten your life by 95%. Come on, this is not a vaccine.
No.
More about interferon, please. And you were I don't care. I like to give credit where credit's due. And this young lady was the first to point out interferon. No one else was talking about it. And I'm not sure many are even now. It's crucial. And it's one of the first things to be wiped out.
Yeah, so for this gene transfection technology to work, they have to put something in the shot to negate or diminish the interferon response. Because when your cells detect foreign nucleic acids like this mRNA, it's going to produce interferon, which will signal the rest of the body to come here and look and kill this stuff, get rid of it, or destroy the cell. So they put something in the vaccine to diminish that response and then get the cell to produce this foreign protein, which it normally would not do. Now, this is similar as if you were to transplant an organ from somebody else into another person, from one person to another. You have to do something to dampen the immune response, or the body goes crazy and will destroy that transplanted organ. Well, this is similar. Your cells don't want to produce foreign proteins. So this is one way of turning off the immune response. You take away the interferon, type 1 interferon, so that this process can proceed. The problem is it's not coming back. That's what they're discovering. This interferon, type 1 interferon, isn't coming back in these vaxxed people. It seems to be chronic and ongoing.
That's very close to at least a partial death knell. That is
well,
not
and,
good.
And then if you do happen to generate antibodies against this epitope that's a match for interferon, then you have an autoimmune, an interferon deficiency caused by molecular mimicry. It's an autoimmune disorder. Your body destroys its own interferon because it can't tell the difference with whether it's friend or foe, self or non-self.
Follow that, everyone. I hope so. Very important. Your body is just trying to do its
job. Protein,
yeah.
It seems to be exquisitely designed to cause the body, to confuse the body into attacking itself, because there's so many of these similar epitopes that it begins to lose the ability to tell the difference between self and non-self, and you basically self-destruct.
And the question you need to ask yourself is, gosh, gee, how did those 27 almost identical protein sequences get into that spike protein? Who put them there? That's no accident.
Yeah, I know. It's awfully coincidental. Rather convenient.
No, it's
but that can happen with many viruses. I mean, the hepatitis C virus has the whole virus. I'm not just talking about the fusion protein. The whole virus has 19,605 epitopes that it could be a match for human mm-hmm. sequences.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the fact that they're, you know, injecting people with the genetic code to produce a protein that has almost identical or many, many identical self proteins, that you're asking for autoimmunity.
And you get it.
And it can happen through two ways. Number one, that the cells that become transfected with this foreign RNA and start producing the protein, your T cells will start destroying those tissues. And then the antibodies that are generated can also attack tissues. So it's almost foolproof as a bioweapon.
I would say it is foolproof. I don't see any other way. We got 3,000 epitopes, we've identified 41. 27 of them are identical or virtually identical to those found in the female reproductive tract, and they're sterilizing women. There are women now, and my heart goes out to all of them. These women who have been afflicted with this bioweapon and are now hemorrhaging. They're bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And apparently, it's so bad in so many cases that one of these sanitary napkin corporations has come out with, well, you tell them.
Yeah, I was watching a movie the other night, and I was interrupted by the advertisements, and I had it on mute. So I was just watching the images, and these were sanitary pads that were enormous. I had never seen these sanitary pads as big as they were, and they were demonstrating their effectiveness with something like a carton, a juice carton, milk carton, and pouring liquid into these things to show that they are indeed reliable and effective for their purpose. To me, it suggests that there must be a market for these things.
Well,
I
think it's
a
new market. Yeah, I haven't seen the ad yet either, but what you told me about it was pretty, pretty sad.
Well, and it jives with what I have seen in some of these social media groups where mm-hmm. these women are really having a hard time of it. And I'm aware of several that eventually resorted to having a hysterectomy because the bleeding was so uncontrollable. And we had those teenage girls that actually needed a transfusion.
Yeah, I wonder if they're still alive now because the transfusion is
blood. Oh, the blood's
blood
tainted. Yes, the blood is tainted.
Full of spike proteins. you must remember that there are trillions of them in your bloodstream and in your body. Whether they're hooked up with another receptor or not, they're there. I got to hear this again. Now listen to Gates mock FDA and CDC and other oversight, and listen to how he laughs at inspectors and tricking them so they look the other way and they don't know.
People have it. It's so easy to change the instructions in the vaccine. You don't have to build a whole new factory and right. verify the factory. You just type those numbers in, and hopefully the regulator sees, oh, you're just doing this small thing. Go ahead. Particularly for cancer, where they...
So the regulator only sees a small thing, and that's all you have to offer him. He says, oh, go ahead. Where's the control here? Where's the QC? Where's the quality control?
It's astounding that he has no background in biological sciences, and here he is, you know, giving some speech on...
Yes. I guess I'd laugh, except for all the dead bodies now.
I know.
The young people's lives are destroyed.
People are being... they're being commoditized now. Their health has been commoditized, exploited... for money.
Well, hell, they've been weaponized. That's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Commoditized. I've never heard that word before. It's a pretty neat word.
Well, they're like cattle. They're being, you know,
exactly
injected
right.
with things, and
no, you got it.
And then they're making money off their plight.
Big money and death, and suffering.
Yeah.
And. For those of you out there who are listening who have lost friends, I have, Erica has, you know right now people who are sick, who are not doing well, and they're not getting better. They're getting worse. Their immune system is going down, either by its own hand or other interactions with these horrible weapons. They're dying. And the more the immune system collapses. The Germans, remember, two shots and you got 12% left, and we don't know what the next week or 2 weeks later would have shown, maybe 6%. You have no immune system left after two shots. Now people are getting three and four. So the door is open to anything that wants to come along and make itself at home in the body of the vaxxed.
Well, the other insidious thing that's also happening, in addition to the immune collapse, is this clotting. The blood, it's not healthy. And I think this microclotting is a bigger problem than people realize, because you can't see it outwardly. You don't, a lot of times, know that you're having a clotting issue until something catastrophic happens, like a stroke, or something goes numb, your leg goes numb,
you can't see your capillaries. Exactly right.
Right. Or you know, you get numbness, tingling in the fingers or toes. That's all an indication, or can be an indication, of microclotting. Trouble breathing, fatigue.
And more. All right, let's jump over to reminding people that TB is being brought into this country probably every day, by some of the 20,000 a month or a million during a year of illegal, and they're invaders coming across the border. They're often loaded with disease. These are biological weapons, these people. They haven't been weaponized per se. It's just the culture they come from. They're bioweapons, and they're ready to spread it to anyone who happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And one of the most common diseases they carry is tuberculosis. And we had the story the other day, Washington State, largest TB outbreak in decades. So watch for it. It's coming soon to your neighborhood, your town, your city. All right, we have bird flu. And don't forget, these people, if they are people, these scientists are so evil and so satanically, demonically possessed that they have no trouble doing anything. And they've got the technology to do it. So they can make something that heretofore has not been necessarily aerosolized. They can make it into an aerosolized pathogen. They can do things that most people, yours truly included, couldn't dream of. They're decades ahead in some areas.
Yeah, flu would be a big one. I don't know. It seems as though, based on the prevalence in the news, that they're laying the groundwork for that, perhaps this fall or this winter. Normally,
in the news,
this
particular... did you say news?
News, yes.
What kind of news would that be?
Oh, the mainstream media?
That's a good
to some degree in the alt news. I think it's floating
right
around.
It's right there, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a joke. It's being pushed on you all the time, 24 hours a day. Go ahead.
Well, so this particular strain, H5N1, it has never been shown to be passed from human to human. It starts off in a bird, and if you have close contact with the bird, you could become infected. And what they've been worried about, one of their scenarios, is that if it can go from a human to a human, well, though nobody has immunity to this version of the flu, or this strain of flu, and we could have a pandemic. So far, that again, this human-to-human transmission has not happened in a real-life scenario. Back in 2012, a prominent flu researcher, Ron Fouchier, did show that with some jerry-rigging in the lab, he could make it, or his team succeeded in making it transmissible airborne with ferrets. And this caused quite a panic at the time. It's hard to know why, because I'm sure that there were many people working on this at the time, because that was a point of focus in those years. What they didn't tell people, though, is that these ferrets, even though they did not require direct contact to pass this virus to each other, they got sick, but none of them died. So the virus had lost some of its virulence. And I think maybe they didn't want the general public to know this because, well, if it's not fatal, then what are we worried about? And if that's true, then they can't really sell you the
and
panic
now,
package.
Now we have 10 years later, and we have gain of function, and who knows what they've been able to do or could do or have done behind closed doors.
I still say that, oh, okay, maybe, and this may have been true for this coronavirus. I yes, it could go from person to person, but typically these viruses, when they, in an effort to reach an equilibrium within a population, they diminish in their virulence so that they can infect more people, but they don't kill them. I suspect that may be the same with this influenza, that it would naturally attenuate itself. It will kill people. It will kill the vulnerable. The elderly, the infirm, the
You mean those
sick.
With AIDS?
Well, yeah, we have a whole bunch of those right now. So it could take
and
out a lot
on
of people.
The way.
But
yeah.
The best way to spread any virus is with a needle. And as long as we have people that are willing to roll up their sleeve and take a needle on blind faith, we're going to have a problem because they are injecting people right now with something that is toxic, at the very least. It is being shed. It is making people around them that haven't had the shot sick. So as long as there's that population of people that are willing to accept these needles,
right,
we need to be on guard. Because they could be injecting them with this bird flu right now.
It's 80% have been shot up already, so it's... We have to protect the 20%.
Well, that's why I say don't let your guard down. This isn't over.
No.
It's not over.
Maybe the foremost talked about prominent bioweapon death pathways that we're facing now. Immense clotting in the body, veins, arteries, capillaries. Many of them with materials that the clots are made of that aren't usually found in clots. What is it?
These are very unusual.
Fibrinogen? What is it?
Well, they're amyloid. It starts with the spike protein that causes a misfolding of some of the components in the blood.
Yeah.
And then they're very abnormal. They don't break down. They're resistant to the enzymes that would normally break down a clot. So they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they get long and stringy and hard.
Like 3 feet long, and you could take one out and use it as a rubber band, so to speak.
Right.
Big. And no blood flows through. None.
Right.
How do you live? I guess just adjacent minor circulation keeps some people alive. I don't know. So you got clots, heart and major organ destruction, CJD prions in the brain and all major organs. Prions can invade any organ. Once that cascade is triggered by a single spike protein, it's Katie bar the door. We got runaway cancers that are killing people in a week or two, and AIDS. AIDS and more AIDS. That's the definition of a destroyed or drastically reduced in functionality immune system. And that's where we are right now.
Yep, we are.
Okay. Well, we do our best to present to you the best information we can come up with and try to bring it into focus further so you can consider it. Understand who the enemies are. We just played a little clip from one of them, and it's no joke. It's up to you if you're going to have a good chance to survive this. Preparation, thinking, hygiene, and we highly recommend a mask when you are in a crowded venue with other people. 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Not all day at work. Never would we recommend that. So it is your choice what you want to do. And we hope that these programs do mean something to you. Also, if you know of anyone who's been vaxxed, shot up, who has received the bioweapon, who has suffered a personality change of some kind, again, we'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, that would be nice. I know they're out there.
They are. Thank you, my friend. Wonderful.
Okay. My pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be back with Mitchell Henderson coming up next.